I've taken the title of the address today, The People There to Catch Us, from a documentary made last year. It, in part, tells the story of Tom Hope and Rachel O'Mahony, two cancer survivors who work alongside researchers at Precision Oncology Ireland to help improve the lives of others living with this disease. The documentary was produced by Ronan Cassidy of Carbonated Comet and directed by Luke Brabazon, and it was funded under Curram's Science on Screen Public Engagement Programme. It premiered in the Galway Film FLA last year, and then it was shown in the Stella Cinema here in Dublin on World Cancer Day, September 24th. The documentary shines a light on the lived experience of cancer patients, their contribution to the research, and the ongoing research of centres like Curram and Precision Oncology Ireland that will shape how cancer will be treated in the future. I'm a researcher in Curram, which is a Science Foundation Ireland-funded centre, and its aim is to develop novel medical devices to treat a wide range of diseases, from cancer to diabetes. There are over 650 funded researchers in Curram, and we range from oncologists to geneticists to bioengineers to regulatory scientists, and we all work together to bring these projects to a successful, hopefully successful outcome. But this film is not just about the scientists involved in this work. As I said, it highlights the lived experience of these two cancer survivors, Tom and Rachel, and the role they play in working with us in our endeavours. We term this public and patient involvement, PPI, and PPI is built into all of our research projects. So what has that got to do with all of us sitting here today? Well, let me take you back to New Year's Day, and I was sitting just there beside Michael at the favourite reading service, and Dennis Aylmer read from John Donne's poem, No Man is an Island. No man is an island entire of itself. Every man is a piece of the continent, a part of the main. If a clod be washed away by the sea, Europe is the less, as well as if a promontory were, as well as any manner of thy friends or of thine own were. Any man's death diminishes me, because I am involved in mankind. And therefore, never send to know for whom the bell tolls. It tolls for thee. So that got me thinking. No man is an island entire of itself. Well, logically, that makes sense to me. We're all connected, and we live our lives, our ska a caela, in each other's shadows. Now, I'm sure many of you grew up in small towns or small villages or in small neighbourhoods, and you really did live in each other's shadows. You knew everyone, and everyone knew you. And when I say they knew you, they knew everything about you. Your seed and your breed, as my granddad used to say. Now, I still live near the village I grew up in, and my kids are fascinated that it can take me 20 minutes to walk down 200 yards of the street, because I stop and I chat to so many people that I've known since my childhood on the way down. And they can't believe that not only do I know so many of them, but I'm related to most of them in one way or another. I am of my village. My people are from there, have lived there, loved there, died and are buried there going back 6, 7, or 8 generations. I live about 3 miles from that village now, in one of the thousands of carbon copy estates that rings our towns and our cities. And I've lived in this estate for half my life, and yet I only know a handful of people in my cul-de-sac of 20 houses. Sure, I'm on waving hello from the car at my neighbours, terms, and I would be friends with a few of them, but I don't even know the name of the woman whose house is less than 30 feet away from mine, and she's probably lived there 10 years. I don't know if that rings true for you or not, but that's certainly my lived experience. Most of the time, if I'm working, I'm out of the estate by 7, I'm back late in the evening, and I could go for weeks, especially in the winter, without ever even bumping into a single one of my neighbours. There's no living Erska Achelga here. We live in our boxy little houses, we jump into our boxy little cars, and we zoom off to work or school or whatever, and we head home, back into our houses, and do the same thing the next day and the next and the next. No man is in an island entire of itself, as Dennis read a few weeks ago. Well, sometimes I feel that a lot of the way we live our lives is exactly that, as unconnected islands. And I think the past few years of forced isolation due to COVID has only accentuated this. We're seeing significant increases reported in poor mental health and development issues with children and teenagers. A June 2022 ESRI report, produced in partnership with the Department of Children, Equality, Disability Integration and Youth, showed that the COVID-19 pandemic has resulted in poorer mental health among young adults. Using data from the Growing Up in Ireland COVID-19 survey carried out in December 2020, the findings show that 4 in 10 22-year-old men and over half, 55% of 22-year-old women were classified as depressed. These were much higher figures than 2 years previously, when 22% of men and 31% of women were classified as depressed. Poorer mental health during the pandemic reflected the disruption to young adults' lives, to their employment, their education, and their day-to-day activities. And although this report speaks to issues identified with young adults, these effects are mirrored across the whole population. And these figures are stark. The level of disconnectedness felt by our young people is huge. And we can't just assume that post-COVID this will resolve itself. It won't. And we will all feel its effects for years to come. Anecdotally, I see it in my own work as a lecturer and as a parent of young adults. When we transitioned back to face-to-face lectures last year, I had classes with students who had had almost all of their first 2 years of university life online. They were now physically in class with classmates who they'd only ever met virtually. And we've all had to rethink our assumption that things would just go back to how it used to be. Now, I know we can all use our phones as crutches in awkward social situations. But walking into a full lecture theatre or class that is totally silent because everyone is staring at their own screen is absolutely unnerving. Post-COVID, our students have really struggled to engage in real life, to work in groups for assignments, to form friendships, to socialise. Most have expressed a preference for at least some of their lectures to return back to being delivered remotely. College society memberships are down. Students don't appear to want to spend as much time on campus. Now, I don't know about you, but for me, the best part of school or college was that unstructured time hanging out in a students' union or a common room just chatting. But that isn't the lived experience now. And it's not just students, and it's not just young people. More older people are reporting feeling lonely or experiencing social isolation. And we know this is both a social and a health issue. A 2019 report from Trinity's longitudinal study on aging highlighted that social relationships are of fundamental importance as a source of support, reciprocity, and well-being. The absence of these strong social supports in the form of loneliness and social isolation have been shown to be harmful both physically and psychologically. Smaller social networks are also associated with early mortality. Indeed, there is an increasing body of research linking loneliness to an excess mortality risk, which is comparable to that of smoking or obesity. Conversely, strong social ties have been shown to protect individuals from emotional distress, cognitive decline, and physical disability. So, what are we going to do about this? What should we do about this as an individual, as a community? I'm sure you're not going to be shocked when I say I don't really have any of these answers, but I do know it's a conversation we need to have. We need to have it in our families, with our kids, with our friends, and maybe even in this community. Now, I know this community does a really good job of being the people there to catch us. When I was thinking about this address, I tried to think of all the ways people are those people there to catch us. And I realise that there are probably hundreds of ways, both big and small, that all those sitting here and listening in do just that. But maybe there's even more ways we can. And this is definitely something I think we should explore, maybe even chat about downstairs at coffee after this service. But talking about it isn't going to be enough. Let's get practical here. We know we need to gather people around us. We need to gather people around us that are there to catch us. They may catch us when we're hit with the really big things in life, like a cancer diagnosis, or even when life is just a little bit grey or dreary or overwhelming or scary. And we need to seek them out and hold them dear. And this sentiment is echoed beautifully in the words of one of my favourite songs, which is White Wine in the Sun by Tim Minchin, when he tells his daughter that he and his family will always be there for her, as he puts it. But you will learn someday that wherever you are and whatever you face, these are the people who will make you feel safe in this world. So maybe we should look at some small practical things we can do to address issues of isolation and disconnectedness. In an address I took here a few years ago, I spoke about how you might set about tackling a seemingly huge task and asked the question, how do you eat an elephant? And the answer is, of course, one bite at a time. Seemingly small interactions that you have with other people can have huge impacts for the good. And I'm sure each of you can think of examples in your own lives. In that previous address, I spoke about a really difficult time that I was going through and of standing at a school waiting to collect my kids and uncontrollable tears flowing down my face and a man from the class who I didn't even know well loading me and my kids into her car and bringing me back to her house and sitting with me as I just tried to get through this. She didn't ask me to explain. She just fed all the kids, plunked them down in front of the TV and sat with me and gave me some tea and biscuits and gave me some space. She was there to catch me that day, and I'll forever be grateful. As I've said already, the title of this address is taken from the documentary about all the people involved in helping and supporting you as you go through the diagnosis and treatment of cancer. It speaks to patients and their families, clinicians, researchers, nurses, and time again, the importance of the personal interaction and connection during this process was highlighted. The one story that struck me most was when Tom, a person who himself had undergone cancer treatment, discusses how he is now a volunteer that drives other people to their treatment. He speaks about how sometimes people just want to sit in silence with him as he drives them to and from the hospital. Sometimes they want to have a cry. And sometimes they want to speak to him about what they and he have gone through. But he is there as a safe point of connection with them on this journey, one where it's far too easy to feel you are alone. So I'm not suggesting that this is something we all need to rush out and do, but I do think it would be a wonderful thing for us to sit with ourselves and see where we might have opportunities for connections, however small, to help build up that network we all need, a network of small connections of people we share interests and passions with, or bigger connections with friends or family members who are, as Tim Minchin, who I quoted above, calls, the people who make you feel safe in this world. Bill Darlson is very fond of quoting Robert Fulghum's "All I Really Needed to Know I Learned in Kindergarten," and if it's good enough for Bill, it's good enough for me. Without realising it, we fill important places in each other's lives. It's that way with the guy at the corner grocery, the mechanic at the local garage, the family doctor, teachers, neighbours, co-workers. Good people who are always just there, who can be relied upon in small, important ways. People who teach us, bless us, encourage us, support us, uplift us in the dailiness of life. We never tell them, I don't know why, but we don't. And of course, we fill that role ourselves. There are those who depend on us, watch us, learn from us, take from us, and we never know. You may never have proof of your importance, but you are more important than you think. There are always those who couldn't do without you. The rub is you don't always know who. So perhaps today or sometime this week, it might be good to sit and have a think about those micro networks which we are all part of or which we might want to be part of. Think about what more we can do or what we can do differently, perhaps. Is there something we feel passionate about? A cause? A hobby? It really doesn't matter. Find a way of using this to establish, re-establish, or strengthen your own networks. It doesn't have to be any huge step or big gesture, and hopefully it will benefit you and all those you reach out to. For me, this speaks to Ahimsa, the first of yoga's ethical and moral guidelines, as an exhortation for cultivating loving compassion and kindness. But the sentiment finds resonance across all belief systems. We are asked in all belief systems to be a good neighbour, and I think it's something that we can all learn from. So to finish up this address, I'd like to repeat the opening words from today's service. We gather as many drops, each winding our own path down life's surfaces and ruts. Here we pool together as a single body, flowing together for a time. Together we are a stream, at times even a river, with our shared force, we can travel towards oceans of meaning and seas of connection. Let us pool together when we can, and travel a while in each other's company, lifting each other up and keeping those connections going and reaching out to or even being the people there to catch those of us who need catching. Namaste.